WJBR Internet Radio for the inquisitive mind and the sophisticated ear.
Microphone, music politics are just chatting it up. Brunch in the basement, see that's what's up. You never know who might run through. Legendary artists or someone brand new. You miss a lot when you miss one day. At least that's what I heard somebody say. But it doesn't really matter what whoever says. It's always a good show with Javon and Therese. Yeah. Brunch in the basement with Javon and Therese. Yeah. You see who we got today or what we're doing today or whatever it is, it's going to be good. Woo!
I love you all so much.
Adam and Eve.
We can see you now.
I know. And thank God.
Yeah. That's generally the response we get from everybody, but we keep it clean.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, beautiful spirits. Thank you so very much for joining us today. This is going to be another awesome, awesome day. Believe it and receive it. And I think that's about it for me today. I hope everybody had a great week. This has been a week of, it's just been full of so many hopeful, so many things to give us hope. And I'm looking forward for Therese to come on so that we can discuss some of those things. We also have the beautiful, magnificent spirit energy, Miss Barbara Tucker, joining us today. I couldn't be more excited about that. And if you know me, you know that's true. You know, I absolutely love Miss Tucker's spirit, her energy, her music, just everything. So I'm excited. I'm just excited. And I hope you are too.
My dark days,
Tallman right there. And let me just say, you made a comment last week sometime about how DJing now is pressing buttons, and it is so true. And let me just say, I love it now. I was so against it at one point. Like when I was actually out there DJing, you know, like with my ones and twos and going, you know, like really playing and, you know, doing it for a living for, well, that was my side hustle, you know, DJing and stuff. When they came out with CDJs, right, where you would use CDs instead of vinyl, that was the time that I just stopped. I was like, oh, no. This button pushing crap, that is not for me. I think that's cheating. And then people weren't actually blending. They were just playing whatever randomly, like you dance into that groove and then all of a sudden it's this. And then it's like the blending of the music wasn't right. And it just wasn't.
You didn't have to have any technical skills.
Any skills. And then it wasn't crisp like, you know, from vinyl. And I was like not impressed. And then I couldn't find vinyl, like 12-inch vinyl for a long time. So, I mean, I still have vinyl, you know, like I still have my vinyl. Well, not all of it, but I have a lot of it. And I still have my ones and twos, the originals. I don't even know if they work anymore because, you know, I've been working. I don't do that. But during the pandemic, I decided, let me just buy one of these things and see if...
I remember.
Right? If I could do it through figuring it out. So it's a whole bunch of freaking buttons, right? And it is a skill within itself that I'm still learning. You know, however, it's fun. It's like a game now. It's like they took DJing and made it into a game. And that's what it is. However, there's still a skill to it. It's not just pushing the button. It's when to push the button. I was recently at a party and a young man was doing his thing, and I noticed that when he couldn't blend, which if you can't blend, then you know, you right. So one thing I've learned to do with this contraption thing is I've learned how to blend the music. As a matter of fact, I can even make remixes on the fly. You know,
it's funny about it too, speaking of blending, like if I can, when I say technical skills, I mean like, can you, it's almost equivalent to, can you add without a calculator? Okay. Can you do long division without a calculator?
Right.
And that's the difference. Like now you're talking about blending and, you know, there are machines that sync up the BPM. The machines that do all of that.
Right.
It's basically, unless you have that skill set, like could you take two vinyl records, which
and
is now
blend.
a classic art form.
Right.
That's the art. It's
yes.
not art anymore.
Yes, yes.
You know,
well, you know what? It's like saying if you color by numbers, then that's not art. It is art. It's just not an art, a natural skill. It's not an art. Because you can do color by numbers and color outside the lines still. You know what I mean? And it not look nice.
No, I guess what I'm saying is this. I think that...
But then, you know what it is? I know exactly what you're saying. Analog or digital?
Well, you know, and don't get me wrong. Digital has done things that analog could not do. You know,
exactly.
You know, when you ask anyone that has, you know, that has laid foundation, analog or digital, I know what their answer is going to be.
Right.
You know,
right.
We live in a microwave society right now. So,
right.
You know, when you say analog and digital to newer folk, they're like, well, what's the difference? You know, or I can do this and you can't do that.
Right.
It's a different, like that's like saying computer sound versus a Fender bass.
Right.
There's really no comparison.
Right.
Or I could take your Fender and I could do this, but yeah, you need the Fender to start.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
So it's kind of, and it may not be, and it's not a question of, because I'll hear this next, oh, old school, new school. Mm-mm. Because
no.
I know some new school artists that are trained and that actually play instruments, you know, that's not a lost art for some, and actually play vinyl.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Like they actually play vinyl. They know where to, you know, like, come on, Javon, you was in the park with that vinyl.
Oh, absolutely.
You knew where the break points were.
You know what? And it's so funny. I think in my mind, because I haven't actually done it in so long, that's one of the other reasons why I'm looking forward to retirement. Like I could dust off. I know the needles are still working, you know, like I don't need new needles and shit because they weren't worn down then. So why should they be worn down now? I haven't worn them. You used them. So I'm looking forward to going back. But in my mind's eye, when I think back to when I was using the turntables and everything, I feel like the vinyl actually had a groove that I knew exactly where that groove was to drop the needle to get to where I wanted to be, to bring, you know what I'm saying? That's another thing that I'm missing from this whole contraption. There's a lot of things that I'm not yet able to do with this stuff that maybe I can do it down the line that I was able to do with my ones and twos as I did it manually. You know, it's almost like reading a book with a, yeah, it's almost like reading a paperback, like a hardcover book versus reading something on a Nook or, you know.
I actually like the Nooks.
Yeah, I don't like the Nooks, see? But however, I like audiobooks. So, it's like, okay, do I read the hardcover of Through the Fire, or do I want to hear Shaka read her own book? And by the way, if any of the Shakan people are listening, please ask her to audio book her book, please, like just to read it. If she wants to just do it for me, I wouldn't be upset about it. But, you know, she could make a lot of money and sell it for, you know, other people, but I know it was, she was recording it just for me, but they don't have to know that. But yeah. So anyway.
Yeah, I'm just like it's interesting. And I don't want to say, because like when people do those classic vinyl sets of jazz and all kinds of, you know,
man, music, please, yeah.
There is you either doing it or you're not. Yes. You know what I mean? Like you're either doing it or you're not. And I don't care about too much else. It's, you know, and sometimes people think, you know, well, I'm not going to say what people think, because these are just conversations that I'm always in for some reason. I don't know why, you know, just I can listen and people
you don't know gravitate why.
Over, you know,
you don't know
like,
why,
hey, really?
You don't know,
huh?
You don't know why?
I don't know why, because you're right. You don't have to come on and keep minding my business. And here we do. And I'm like, I've learned to embrace it, you know, and then I just want if I say something to you or we're having a conversation, get my words right, you know, like.
No, that's true. Get that right.
Just make sure you're telling what I actually said versus what you thought I said or heard.
Exactly.
No, that's all.
I know.
But they're fun conversations. You know, I used to be annoyed by them, honestly, but they're fun actually now.
Yes, you know? Yes. Be, you know, just go with it. Go with it. Yeah. I mean, like, people know what I'm thinking most of the time. Random. I'm just saying. But
too close to home. You know what's funny? I was talking about the late, great Gwen Guthrie.
Oh, yes. Yes.
And when Larry was doing her remixes, I was in the studio that particular day.
Nice.
Eating creamsicles, right? So I had to work this particular evening, but he was going to debut, you know, Padlock, that whole trio at the garage. So I was suddenly feeling ill. And I left to go downtown to the garage just to be there when he broke that record, right? And at the time, what I remember vividly was that there were well-known DJs that worked for radio stations. Well, you know what? He's Frankie Crocker.
There you go. How about that? Just say it. Say it plain.
Frankie Crocker, dear heart. He would be known for coming down and, you know, stealing mixes. It was just a thing, you know. But that sometimes, and, you know, most of the time they wouldn't give credit for him, like where you got it from. So I was saying, okay, you're going to break Gwen's song. How are you going to do that? He says, well, I'm going to make it crocker-proof first. The first night I drop it, I'm going to make it crocker-proof. And I didn't know what that meant, you know. So I was like, crocker-proof. But I, you know, kind of, all right. So I wiggle my way up in there. And I wanted to be on the floor as opposed to in the booth so you could, like, hear and feel it. So he didn't drop them direct songs, like play the song straight out. he remixed his own remix with three different songs. So it was like, it came in with Peanut Butter instruments out. So it was just, I'm in love with you. And it was, you know, the echo. Want you to love me too. Woo, 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 woo. And then when it got to where she was going to go into the second verse of Spread Yourself Over Me Like Peanut Butter. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do
Oh, my God, Seventh Heaven.
Yes, instrumental. And then he came back with the instrumental Padlock.
Mm.
By the time he finished doing this, you didn't know what the fuck he was playing.
But
you just
matter.
Knew it was like, what is happening in America?
Yeah.
And he is going all the way off. So you didn't know if it was one record, two record. You didn't know if it was, you didn't know what it was.
And that's the genius of, you know, being original and being manual and knowing all the nuances of a record, the remixes and the extended versions. And like, I used to have a field day with Whitney's version of I'm Every Woman. The vinyl version, the 12-inch that I have, I still have it. I have like the dub, the vocal only, the instrumental, the extended instrumental, the this, the that, the other, and each version had something, had a special something to it that if you, and you could link them, you could mix them all interchangeably and make it like a brand new song. And it was just, I know exactly what you're talking about, but you can, I mean, you can do it with this stuff, but it's more fun, I think, to do that sort of thing. At least I think I would be more inclined to do that with the albums. You know what I'm saying? Although,
yeah.
I need to learn more about this digital stuff. Right now, I know how to press the buttons, and it's fun. Like,
back then, there was, you're talking about like three different records, three different BPMs.
Absolutely.
And no digital. So you had to know.
You know your songs, you know your records.
Yes, exactly.
You know your records. As a matter of fact, one of the things when I started my career, the gig that pays to this very day, one of the reasons why I stopped DJing along with the CD thing is that I didn't have enough time to rehearse anymore. I used to practice. It was an art to me. So I didn't just like show up at a gig. I practiced and rehearsed for the gig. So if it was a wedding, and I mean, after a while, DJs have their sets, you know what I'm saying? But it wasn't as simple then because you're carrying crates of music. And, you know there's going to be a dinner portion, you know there's going to be this, that, and the other, and you need to have all of those songs, and I like them to blend. That was always something that was critical to me, and the reason is because I hate being, to this day, being on the dance floor and you switching BPMs and switching and trying to mix shit that just does not go together. But I always also appreciate it if you made a song say something that it didn't originally say by mixing two or three different songs. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
I get it.
So I practiced and rehearsed that, and I was much more skilled with the vinyl than I am now with this stuff, but I'm having fun in my old age. You know what I'm saying? Like I was, when I started mixing, I was 13 years old. following after my brother's friends and them putting me on and showing me how to do it and DJing in the park whenever they would let me. And, you know, like, that was just fun. And then growing up to eventually DJing in clubs and for parties and stuff like that. And then I stopped because I started, you know, working. And now I'm having fun with this little thing. So, I don't know. There you go. That's my story. I'm sticking to it.
I like that. I definitely understand.
It's so
that
fun.
Tie emotion. You know, It's like, I just hope that they don't get rid of the DJ. You know, there's so many, like, there's so many that tell stories through music. There's so many, like, and honestly, there's nothing like a great blend, you know. And I'm not talking about playing was popular, you know, not a top 40, you know, DJ. I'm just talking about a DJ that can go top 40, that has a broad range of things to do. You may have a specialized area. Like, people think that Larry only played house and, you know, but he was a producer. He was a DJ. He could play anything he wanted to play, you know, but where his specialized area was, he couldn't be fucked with, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's why long past his death, he is still considered one of the best in the field, you know?
That's the very definition of legendary.
Right.
Yeah. You're gone, and we still chatting about you decades later.
They still are auctioning off your mixtapes.
Yeah, you know?
The reserved.
And last night, you played something. I was like, okay, go ahead, Therese, when I heard Move Me No Mountain. I was like, no, she didn't go into my personal stash.
That's actually an iPod that I just dropped music. I dropped music in. I haven't, you know, I need to update it, you know, so it gives, like, there's certain playlists that I play that just, you know, I guess appeal.
Yeah, that's a dope-ass playlist you was playing last night. As a matter of fact, every time I go down to the True Lounge, I am impressed with your music.
Thank you.
The time before, the last time I was there, not last night, the time before, went down there with the crew, me and EJ were really getting to know one another a little bit more and bonding over the music selection.
Oh,
I was equally impressed with him that he knew, you know, all the songs, and we were both singing them at each other. Like, oh, really?
Oh,
you know?
Nice. It's funny because years ago, I invited Lenny Green to a duel. Right.
Mm-mm.
You know, I just think it would be super fun. Because I was in a mood one day, and he was on the radio, and I called him up, and I was like, can you play this particular song, right? So he says, what do you know about that song? I was like, oh, nice. Let's have a, you know, and that's always something fun, you know.
Oh, so you were jazz in that particular.
Yes, jazz. He sure did jazz.
Yes, he did. That's what's up.
Yes, he did. Which is funny, you know. And, you know, just, I don't know, just to sit back. I used to shout out to Jimmy Breedlove Jr. too, because he was another person that I would sit, and he's a great guy. And we would sit back in the days and just play vinyl and just groove.
That's,
you
what's
know,
up.
Just groove, yeah.
So, yeah. That's pretty dope. You're listening to WJBR Internet Radio, Brunch in the Basement with Javon and Therese. Today we have special guest Barbara Tucker coming up. Cannot wait. Always a pleasure.
Yes.
She's just dopeness. She's fire. Just fire. And I'm looking forward to that.
I often do that, LaVon. First time she went, I forgot which song it was, but Auntie and I stopped talking at the same time mid-sentence to enjoy the guitar riff. I often do that. You always see my fingers going, you know, like, yeah, it's just, yeah.
Something, nothing like a song that inspires a good air guitar. How about that?
Yeah.
How about
last night on the way home, I was playing the instrumental version of Tennessee Ring Me Alarm without the words.
Mm.
That pan in that music, just the way it was just instrumental. I appreciate it because you could hear all the music, you know.
Yes, and you brought it up. That's all I wanted to say.
Hilarious. Oh man.
Good morning, love. If you're listening on Facebook, now would be a great time to go to YouTube, WJBR Internet Radio, Brunch in the Basement with Javon and Therese.
Go on, hit the road, Jack, and I'll help you.
Were you singing it to rest?
Not.
I've done enough.
Yeah, I had to, I was reminded that I had to get my, sorry, I didn't mean to cut off the music. I realized after I left that if I leave, the music leaves. And I did not mean to do that. Did not mean to do it.
I tried to stand in for Gwen, but it was impossible.
I heard a little bit of it as I was running upstairs to get my...
Hilarious. Well, can we talk about this amazing confirmation before the legend comes on?
Absolutely. Let's do it.
Listen, first of all, like we talked a little bit about it last night, you and I. And isn't she lovely?
I think she looks just like me.
She looks just like me, too.
That's right. She looks like us, right? Don't you see yourself right there?
Yes, I do.
I'm just saying.
Yes, I do. And I think that's the point.
Yeah.
You know, I think that therein lies the point. You know, I think in this big old country, this big old melting pot that's supposed to allegedly be for everything and everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And now that it is representative of everything and everybody, starting to be, at least the faces are, you know, starting a little bit, like right now, if you were to look at the Biden administration, because there's a lot of browning of the you know, right now. Even it's browning. It's browning.
You know, what I like to say is that they have leveled the playing field of more qualified people.
Yes. And qualified is the key word.
Because in this particular case, what they got was the super bonus.
She's overqualified. But has that not always been our plight?
Well,
like, you can't just be good at your job. You have to be, in order to break that glass ceiling or whatever, you have to be not just good, you have to be the best.
You know, I have a thought about what tends to happen to people that are good at what they do.
Mm.
You know, that draws more. You know, we were talking last night, because I'm going to stay in the spirit of abundance.
Yes.
You know,
abundance.
Stay in the spirit of abundance. And we were talking last night, you and I, and we were talking, and I mentioned to you that, you know, this was the first time that I've ever seen a confirmation hearing of this particular magnitude. And not just because she was, you know, labeled to be the first Black woman, which she is, but the level of scrutiny and buffoonery that went along with it should have been embarrassing to the nation. To, like, you know, once upon a time, like, we didn't know who our, we may have known by their political stance, but we didn't know how ignorant somebody was. And so, you know, you never do until they open their mouth.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And to the degree that Ted Cruz and so many others.
Miss Lindsey Graham.
This thing. And Mitch McConnell. To the degree that they opened their mouths, and to the degree of some of their questions, like, they didn't have this many questions for the other guy that had the alleged rape incident, you know?
Right. And the one where he says he likes beer. I like beer.
You know, and it's very interesting, you know, how we are forced to settle for mediocrity. And then you have this one woman that is overqualified and more experienced than all of them combined, not just one. You take all of the seated justices and you roll them up, and then you put Ketanji Brown Jackson over here, and her experience of one person is out. You know, one of them is a one-trick pony. Only done one thing. Done one thing and just, you know, graduated up the levels, but one-trick pony, which does not give you diversity. It does not give you it doesn't give you a varied opinion. Everything is going to look like and sound like the one thing you've been exposed to.
Exactly, therein lies the conundrum of this society. Like, when you stop people, and I've said this forever, when you stop people from living in their highest potential due to color or whatever, then you not only limit them, you're not just stopping them, you're limiting yourself. If the Supreme Court, let's just say,
mm-hmm.
allowed all of the best, only the best of the best, the most fair of the fair, to be Supreme Court justices,
mm-hmm.
it would not look like it looks, number one.
Right.
But it would also be a much better Supreme Court. Court of the United States of America. But they are so busy trying to make it look like them. They're not seeing the bigger picture of great the country could really be in standing in its living up to the words of the Constitution.
They do not. Here's the thing. They don't want a different opinion.
No, I get that.
It hasn't wanted a different opinion.
I get that. So, but it stunts your own growth. It's ignorance. It's ignorance.
Javon, let me just be super clear. There's a lot of people walking this planet that don't give a shit about stunted growth.
Yeah.
They don't, because they just fear to Midland. Just, and in some cases,
and they're happy with it. That's true.
You know, one trick ponies. That's just it. One thing. You and I will not be able to have the lens to speak directly on that, except if you have someone in your life that's only done one thing. You know what I mean? You have you've done so many things in the course of your lifetime. It gives you a rich embodied opinion, a rich embodied you always got your hand in something. You understand?
No, I wish I could just stop.
Yeah, but that's not who you are. You know what I mean? That's not who you are. And from that, you can speak from a broad space of things because you like to enrich your brain that way. That's just what you do. You know, so when a person sits and talks with you, there are a variety of things that you can cover. Not because you're just out there showboating, just because you just happen to have the information because you happen to be interested in so many different things.
Yeah.
You know? But when you have only done one thing all your life and for a long time and you don't have any variety, you're a one-trick pony. And not to say that's a bad thing. It's just a thing. You don't come with a broad level of experience as anything. You come with an opinion about shit, but not an educated, respectable one. You know, it's just you blowing off steam about shit you think you know, but you don't know.
I cannot wait to see what she does. Because right now, because of the makeup of the Supreme Court, there's not going to be that much that she can do. Like, her votes won't count as much because they outweigh us or whatever, however you want to look at it. This current Supreme Court is very politicized and it's contrary to what it's supposed to be, but it is what it is. But her opinions will be rich, and that's what I'm waiting for. You know, that's the difference. You know, those things will be written down in the history books, regardless. You can't ban it from the library like they're trying to do the Ruby Bridges story. And let me just say, since I said that, let me just say this. If you don't like, you don't want your children to know how your mother and father behaved, then you behave that way. Change the story.
It's the audacity to want to eliminate the story.
You know where they get the audacity?
You made it the story.
You know where they get the audacity? People put them in power. People voted for them. Your vote has power. I cannot say that enough. Vote for people who have your best interest at heart.
But can you imagine?
I can't say it enough.
Think about it, in the year
2022, pictures of MLK will be a blonde, blue-eyed man.
Listen, oh my God, you said that before,
they are whitewashing history.
Oh.
And audacity is the Caucasity. Now. What I'd like to do really briefly before Ms. Tucker comes on, I want to do a quick Black History moment.
Yeah, let's get it.
Yeah, because I don't want us to fall away from that. It's easy to not do them, especially when I'm not prepared.
It's all good.
We
talk about some Black history.
Yeah. But you know what? That is Black history. Today we're making history. Every day that you step outside of your house, every day that you do a thing, you are making Black history. Okay, so this young lady here is Miss Marian Anderson. On April 9th, 1939, Marian Anderson opened the doors for many African-American artists against racial discrimination by singing at the Lincoln Memorial when she was prevented from singing to an integrated audience at Constitution Hall. First Lady Eleanor Roosevelt and President Franklin D. Roosevelt helped with Anderson being able to sing instead at the Lincoln Memorial in front of over 75,000 people and with millions more listening on the radio. She always gave her date of birth throughout her life as February 17, 1902. Following her death, it was reported that her actual birthday may have been February 27, 1897. Although there may be some confusion on her actual date of birth, her status as one of the most gifted and talented contraltos without debate. Her beautiful and appealing voice commanded the attention of audiences in concert halls around the world for decades. Anderson died on April 8th, 1993 in Portland, Oregon. Today, we say your name, Marian Anderson.
Marian Anderson.
And where did I go? There I am.
I could tell you why that date of birth may have been tricky for some of my own understanding in doing family research is that around a certain age, a lot of our ancestors were born at home.
Yeah.
And there are several counties, particularly in the South, where they just didn't count the census, right? But they didn't want to know that there were a large population of people of color living in there.
Mm-hmm.
Then all of a sudden, when it became, you know, fruitful to have people to be able to move money around, they started to count the census. And because they hadn't counted these kids that were living in places, they were starting them off as one when you have like a whole kid in front of you. So that's the discrepancies for a lot of dates of birth for people that date back in a certain time, you know.
Yeah.
That was true. We had some of that in my family as well.
Yeah, absolutely. We celebrated my grandmother's birthday on March 19th for many years. It wasn't until she actually needed her her birth certificate that she found out she was actually born on March 28th, 2 years before she thought she was born.
Wow. Yeah.
So she found out she was 2 years older than she thought she was. You know, she didn't like that.
So that probably meant if she didn't know or didn't have it because she had a certificate, that probably meant that she was two when she was counted.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that, and there's a lot of that. There's a lot. That's not uncommon, you know.
Yeah.
We had whole teenagers by the time we had those records in sync, you know.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
I want to talk a little bit about, well, I'll wait. I was going to start talking about Barbara Tucker a little bit. But, yeah, my grandmother thought she was a Pisces, but that woman has way too much fire. She is definitely an Aries. Straight up. No doubt. I was always confused about that, especially when I started studying astrology. I'm like, but she was born, and she doesn't. It just doesn't fit.
Because it's wrong. She's like, Aries.
Where's all this fire coming from? Mm. And then bang.
Yeah. See? The shift of life.
You know? And then when I told her, I said, oh, Grandma, you're an Aries. That's what it is. I am not an Aries.
That was funny. And I'm telling Granny.
Yeah. No, yeah. So
one of your great aunts had the issue. Yeah. Thought it was rare. Yeah, no, it's not rare. And it's usually the great aunts, the great and great. You know, it's not the, you know, your immediate aunt. Although now it's, in this generation, it'd probably be great, great, great. But, you know, it's usually people born before the 40s or 50s. No, 30s and 40s, somewhere in there.
Okay. So, you know, I'm very pleased to shift to someone who actually is a Pisces, right? Uh-oh. Grandma thought she was a Pisces, but she was not a Pisces. Let's talk about somebody who is a Pisces and the spirit of Pisces. Although there's an explosive energy there that you will all be privy to. You're not gonna believe this energy. I remember the very first time I had the honor of sitting down to speak with Barbara Tucker. Okay, first of all, I had always been a fan. You know, the music speaks for itself. The music, legendary. Deep inside, deep. Don't let me do it because she did it best, right? Beautiful people. I get lifted. Come on. I mean, you know, on and on and on. And
hits,
right? And then, right. Oh, my God. And would you believe my favorite is the horn song. I just love the one with the horns. Yeah. But anyway, as I was, I met her at this club down in Brooklyn. I went down to this club in Brooklyn to interview her. And she got on stage and started singing. Let me just tell you, that live.
Ah, banana.
It to a whole nother place. It took me to her voice, her vocals, her energy took me to a whole nother place. I was like, this is not gospel house, but I'm feeling this spirit energy, this God energy. During another interview, we were talking about, I said the word diva. And she explained to me, which I always learn something every time I get the honor and the privilege to speak to Ms. Tucker. She explained to me that the word diva comes from divinity. And to walk around saying, I want only green M&Ms or blue M&Ms, and what are you doing? That has nothing to do with divinity, to the divine. You know what I mean? That has no, there's no God in that. So although we say that those people are divas, that's not what a diva is. A diva is divine. The person that you will see next on this screen is a woman of God, I promise you. People don't know about her choreography.
No, come on.
And all that she's done, but we'll let her speak about that.
The legendary Afro.
I wasn't even going to do this, but I'm going to do this, and then I'm going to bring her on. You know, one of the most photogenic women I have ever laid eyes on. Bang! What?
Bang. Come on now.
What? What? These pictures alone, even if she didn't sing, are legendary. What?
She's saying.
Beauty. Black beauty. What?
Come on now.
Honey, please. Ladies and gentlemen, the legendary.
I need an afro. Where's my afro?
How you doing, darling?
God bless you, soul sisters in the house. How you feeling this morning?
We are blessed.
I am good. I said, okay, I'm wearing my glasses, too. Everybody got their glasses on. I said, look at
right.
Glasses you want to take. Is that a diva? No.
That earring is everything. Is that an earring? That's everything.
Yes, it is. Let me tell you something. I am in the season, not that I wasn't really doing it before, of supporting Black artists. And this sister, you know, in Brooklyn, she does earrings. Oh, my God, she's so creative. And I'm like, oh, my God, I got to have that, even no matter what it costs, because of her art that went into it, representing the Soul Sisters here. I was like, this is so cool.
That's dope.
I love unique work.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
So how you doing, Sister Therese?
I'm good. I'm hanging in there, Barbara. I'm hanging in. I'm hearing amazing things about you. Okay. Amazing things about what you're doing and where you're going.
Always.
You know the streets.
They talk. Sometimes it's foolishness, but sometimes you will hear a word of the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
I was hearing your wisdom as I was on mute. I was like, all right, they are in the topic. These two sisters are all that.
Thank you.
And how are you doing, Ms. Giovanna? How are you feeling today?
I'm feeling especially blessed. I am feeling especially blessed. There has been so much hope weaved into the past few days with all of the drama and the shenanigans and the devil at play and the evilness and the wickedness and the misinformation and the shenanigans and the weirdness. There's,
so in other words, things are as they always were.
Right.
Our mother's womb.
Right.
Even before my mother's mother's mother was in her womb.
How about
the devil
that?
Was always at play doing what he came to do.
Very busy.
Have you tested my son Job yet?
Mm.
You know, God wants to always test our faith. And I was just talking to my cousin here today, and I said, look, if this does what it does here, I'm not going to love this earth more than I love the afterlife with my father. And God, if I could just be a vessel here, I am. Do with me. Use me how you see fit in this land, because the devil got to do what he's doing, right? Because he was assigned to this earth.
Mm.
People don't remember that. But you, until you say, God, you're going to be my savior. Let me get in line. Let me get in order. I am here created with a contract with you before I was here to do what I have to do. And so some people, they might not remember this because they've gotten away from maybe church, worship with their families. Remember the days when it thunderstormed. And what did your grandmother say, your great-grandmother, your mother say? Come on, let's pray.
Turn everything off.
We're going to pray. Where's the praying family? We all grew up, I believe, if it wasn't you, your grandmother or your grandmother's grandma, with a praying family. What happened?
Mm-hmm.
Where are we? Amen.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Where are we? Is this Tilton? I kind of like it, Tilton, but you know, I always tell people.
Yeah, I kind of like it, Tilton, too.
A rap could be anything you want it to be.
Exactly. And right. I kind of like the way it's falling. I actually, it looked
it's
intentional.
Like something with the earring. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Making angles.
Well,
so we had spoken before about your music.
Okay.
I was looking at an old interview that you and I did, and I remember saying, this wasn't gospel house, but it felt like the gospel. My spirit was lifted. So please, let's talk about the intention or what it is that you bring. How is it that you could be talking about deep, deep inside, and even though that lyric can be taken anyway, but it does a spiritual lift.
Because if you just say the deep, deep inside alone without the, all we need is love, it's deep inside, because that's where you'll find God.
Mm-hmm.
God is love. Right? When people say, well, what is love? Oh, he told you.
Mm-hmm.
God is love,
mm-hmm.
and love is God.
Mm.
And when you operate in that consciousness of giving, with that giving nature, no matter if they receive or not, your spirit you feel the oneness with the Creator, because you're a part of the Creator. We step up. You're just not here to say the Big Bang Theory. We just popped up here. There's a reason. There's a cause. There's a season. Everyone has an assignment. Some people just have not been awakened to it.
Mm.
Mm.
And do you feel closer to God when you sing? Does
yeah, of course. How about I really feel it. It's like a prophecy. You start praising God when you're hearing the prophecy, and you give him the praise, the source, the Creator, the praise then. And then later just manifest and you just smile because you're like, that's God. That's God. God gave you that song. I was speaking to Terry Hunter not too long ago, and I said, it's interesting. My writing, 9 times out of 10, I write a song that a producer may give. But when I get in front of the mic, a whole nother song appears right there, and I start doing it right there in front of the mic. And I say, God, see, it's in the moment. And that spirit, God, what is it that you want me to live, to deliver to the people? I tend to write esoterically. I tend to write prophetically. I tend to write from the consciousness of the I am-ness of God, not just saying, Jesus loved you, Jesus loved you. Okay, and we can know, who are you? God said, ye are gods. Psalms 82:6, but ye shall die like men. When somebody tells you a God, not to say that you're the king and everybody's going to bow to me, but to give you that consciousness power that if you believe you can achieve and you shall receive. I know we heard that many times in church, but seriously, as that woman, this is my favorite of all time scripture of faith. When that woman who had the issue of blood, how many of you remember that?
Yes.
Wrote a song about it.
How many times, how many years was she suffering from this? That sounds, and remember, you couldn't, back then, you couldn't come out your house. You couldn't be around spiritual people when you were on your menstrual cycle.
Right, right.
So she didn't care. All she knows is she heard of a man that can heal, bring healing. It didn't say that she was born again and saved. You know, it just talked of her faith. I thought that was really powerful. She had spent all her money for somebody to heal her. And I'm thinking that she was a rich woman, a woman of stature, because she had all this and she had to sell it all from all these tricksters and scammers that you too can be healed by this, just do this. But all she needed was her faith. And she said within herself, if I can only touch the hem.
Yes.
She never touched it physically. But her faith said, I know I shall be. When she seen him and her eyes beheld him, her healing, he felt the virtue, something pulled. What touched me?
Yeah.
Now, some people try to say that she touched him. No, this is like you in a parade. You down in the marketplace. There's Jesus. Everybody's surrounding Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's doing what they're doing on the avenue. You know, one of those avenues, it's a Saturday and everybody's buying and selling. So how is she going to get there in her funk without being noticed and what have you? And the touch, they would have blocked her.
Mm-hmm.
But her to just behold, to become that healing, because she saw in herself, but her faith was so fierce that it pulled on the Savior. And that's what God wants us to do. He needs to fill our faith that we can receive as we believe. And that's the thing about faith. It's not something that you, it's easy to do, I'll get that. It's the thing that is the impossible thing that you know that you know. Look, I know if I connect with the Savior, touching and agree, if I am this and becoming that which I desire, that healing or even that job or whatever it is, that it shall be. So I tend to write in that way of your faith always being on top and who you are, your power, not a wimpy Christian that you think. And I'm sorry I have to say that you think that your salvation is across the street or on the other side of the world, that one day I'll be, no, right now, right here, right now. Hey, you know, why
Amen.
Not?
Amen. That's right. That's right. Because God is in you and only God can save you.
Now give the credence to the term you are enough, because everything you need, you came here with.
All
right. You get caught up in the muck and mire of what living in this kinetic world is about.
Okay.
You know, but when we return to spirit, it becomes real easy, real simple. You know, a lot of things become real simple. We've clouded up our existence with things that are not of it, you know. But thank you for that, Barbara.
I have to send you
returning to spirit. That's important for people to know. They have to get that, because that's you and the Father are one. How you and the Father one? By until you acknowledge it, can you understand it? So how do you understand it? We have to get under spiritual priests who can teach us. You couldn't know college things until you went to school, right?
Right.
So we studied to get the understanding, not just say, I believe in God in the sweet by and by. No, right here, right now.
You know, we talk a lot on this show about self-care too, you know, which is huge, you know, because if you're not taking care of yourself, you can become separated from that spirit real fast, you know, real fast. What do you do for self-care.
Hey, spirit, mind, and body, right? When I start coming out of the beta sleep and I'm closing my eyes so I see, I start thanking God. I'm in my bed before I put my foot on the ground. My spiritual man has got to connect with, stay connected by giving thanks to Almighty Yeshua and Yahweh for waking me up. The Ruach breath that he breathed in me, I don't have to be here. Somebody did not wake up. God, apparently I'm here because you still have me on assignment. Not you have assignment for me to do. You still have me on assignment. And then I start to turn on either William McDowell, some praise song. In other words, nothing is important at this morning. As me acknowledging and singing or praising or turning on some spiritual teachings and getting my day prepared first with my spirit, okay, reading and being transformed in my mind, because that's where we get transformed first is our thought, getting that in line of what I have to do. I do work out for my body. I work with my sensei. Her name is Bev. She's awesome. And Giovanna, you always remind me of her, the way you talk, your tone, and the dread thing. And she's just so awesome, and she's such an inspiration. She is very powerful. You all should have her on once. They brought her all the way to Africa once to teach all these African girls in the school self-defense. She has her belts and her awards, and she's has her acclimates, amen, from maybe the senators or whomever she did, because her whole thing is to teach women self-empowerment and self-defense. So her workouts are based on self-defense and getting my body together with her. Then I work out with, I don't know if you know, Obadiah Wright, Baba.
Yes.
Obadiah Wright.
Yes.
Every Saturday, he teaches classes based on the healing of organs inside, so we can go to a gym and keep jumping. You know? Look, I was a fitness instructor for years, but when he teaches you what exercises for what organ to bring oxygen to it and help that, and you're on the floor mainly doing these things, bringing your heart to a good rate, pumping. Women who are growing, we're growing older, and they're hunched over walking. He's teaching you how to train your back to stand upright and say, oh, he's so fierce. So right after this, actually at 1:30, I'm going to his class. You can find him on Facebook, Obadiah Wright, and I love it. He has classes for men, and he has classes for women. And then he teaches them about the organs and why, and then, of course, the eating. And then with the eating, of course, I cut out a lot of things out of my diet. I was telling my cousin again, we don't need that milk. We're not. So why are we drinking cow's milk? Why?
Yes.
You know, God gave us mother's milk. And when you finish that, that's it. You don't need that anymore. But if you feel you want or need that vitamin D, then, of course, you have your hazelnut, your coconut milk, your different alternatives that you can even make yourself. I get so excited about, oh, we can make this too. Good. You know, I make sure my D's are up, D3, 10,000. But now when I went out to Fort Lauderdale, because we just came from a music conference, so to speak, they have B12 shops. B12 shops, and I was like, wait, we don't have this in New York. And sidebar, I'm in Atlanta now. I moved to Atlanta.
Okay. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I didn't say, oh, she's in Atlanta now. No, I'm all
right. You didn't make that announcement? Okay.
I think so.
I don't feel bad then. I'm not the only one that didn't know. Okay.
And so it's a shop that you can actually invest in and have your own, like how people have the Pizza Hut shops or Starbucks. You can do B12 shops, whereas people come and they get injections of D or magnesiums or seed, or you can do cocktails of them that are fat burners. And when the guy showed me how big he was and this was his regimen, I had to like expand the picture. I'm like, this is not you. And he said, this is what I do. And I love it that someone's in a community helping the people. I found out, just found out there's one in Atlanta. I'm going to go to it. So I'll do that. And, of course, taking my vitamins, working out, eating right. I don't eat any the meat. Now, I do what I do, Passover, I will do the lamb, because this is a memory of what our people, I don't care what other culture is saying, we're the Jews. We're the Hebrew. I don't care who you are. I know that was our people, and we are part of the 12 tribes. But until we get back to God and what we're supposed to do, you know, because we are, this is sidebars too. Mm-hmm. Our culture starts worshiping all kind of gods. Henceforth, you're going to be cursed because you're not following God's law. You're not doing what God said, because you are a community. You're not an individual black person, African person, whoever you are. You are supposed to be a part of a spiritual community, and the devil likes that we're all over the place. And yeah. I don't believe in that. Oh, Jesus was the white man. Well, we all know that there was no J in the Hebrew language. Let's teach the right thing and keep it moving. It's the spirit of God. Oh, he wasn't back there. Really? Well, I'm thinking there was a Trinity. There always was a Trinity. You know, but if that's what you want to tell yourself to give you an excuse not to worship and to acknowledge and give praise to the source, the one who created it all, granted names will change, of course, things, that's what happens. But when you're in the spirit and the authenticity of praising the Most High, you don't want to call him Jesus, the Most High, the source, the creator of all, trust me, God is going to bring revelation to you. Because your heart is right. Mm-hmm. Not like I'm not, and I don't believe. And then, yeah, you keep on. The devil already got you. But anyway, I know.
Do it. Let it out.
You know. So of course you have to take care of your body. You have to eat right. And of course, as I said, around Passover, I believe in that. You'll eat the meat. Hallelujah. You'll eat something bitter to remind you of it almost brings me to tears, what your ancestors went through in slavery, what they, oh God, Jesus, I'm not trying to cry.
It's okay.
That's the Pisces side. Mm-hmm. The airy side is getting ready to calm her down. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have to be reminded. And when you look at Easter, it's not just an outfit or going to church or not, but when you can get with your family, I don't care if you have no children, find an aunt, a grandmother, some cousin, and remember, pay tribute to your ancestors that came through. But then there's that sweet something on the plate that reminds you of the honey, that land of milk and honey that God is going to bring you to, you know.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. LaVon says, I'm not sure if you can see the chat, Barbara.
No,
but,
I can't.
So they have, like, to the right of your screen?
Yes, I see it. It says private comments. Chat.
Well, there's private chat, and there's the one that says comment.
Okay, comment. Oh, okay.
Comments, and you'll see the rolling body of chat. And one of them stood out to me just now.
Okay.
Keith Anthony Fluid says hello, but...
awesome.
But LaVon B says sunlight, movement, nutrition, sleep, spirituality, the five doctors that are already within us. We just need to tap in.
All right. Teach us. Amen.
Yes.
Amen. I am humbled to and I bow down to teaching that such as that helps us. Of course, I have a supervising priest. You all know I go to Zoe Ministries, the home of the prophets, Dr. Eben R. Jordan and Pastor Prophet Deborah Jordan, who has taught me so much, my goodness, how to even be the best servant I can be, not just unto God, because when I serve man in the house of God, I do it unto God. People have to get that together. You're not alone. You're not alone, and God wants us to wake up and be servants and vessels unto him. But how we do it, first we serve God, then we serve humanity. I work with the Book Bank Foundation here. This is the home base of it with Dr. Glenn Tovey, all right, and David Branch. And we'll go into communities, feeding people, giving people laptops. You know, I tell people singing is just what I do. That's not who I am.
Mm.
Oh, I'm an artist. I'm a recording artist. No, that's just something that I do. There's a bigger message in me, through me, that came to me from God. And what I do, I use music as the platform to deliver it. That's the thing. Somebody sung a song, "Now that I got your attention again, I want to."
Yes.
I have to break it up. 5, 6, 7, 8. Now, now that I've got you, now let's talk about God. Let's talk about the I am-ness of God in us, through us.
Right,
being
right,
the best that we can. Being, Al Sharpton said on his show today, I couldn't be James and I couldn't be Jesse Jackson. I couldn't be Martin Luther King, but I could be the best Barbara that I am.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. You're listening to WJBR Internet Radio, Brunch in the Basement with Barbara Tucker, Javon, and Therese.
Yes, yes. Now, Barbara.
Yeah, yeah.
We, you know, the streets are talking, and you know, we had to come find you, you know. I had to come tap you on the shoulder because we got some news, you see.
Hey, breaking news! I know I'm silly.
Breaking news. It may not be breaking for all, but it was breaking for us. That's why we had to go grab you and sit still to ask you about this B Crew.
Okay? Oh.
Yes.
The B Crew.
Now, you managed to assemble, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't believe so. You know, we were in alleys talking. That's what it sounded like, right? So you managed to assemble some amazing anointed voices called B Crew. Can you expand on that for us?
Well, the B Crew started on Strictly Rhythm Records with Gladys Fizarro signing the group. It originally was Barbara Tucker, Ultranate, Dajé, and Monet. And then years later, I just reformed the group. I brought in the late Sabrina Pope, God rest her soul, Dawn Tolman, and Charlotte Small. Charlotte and I have been friends forever. She's more theater. And she moved on to be trained in classical. Now she's a teacher at the New School, and she's the teacher of the group. That note is wrong, and we have to do this. She could hear all kinds of things happen. And then as we in and out performing, doing things, our first tune was released years ago on Tony Records, and it's called Blessed Are the Peacemakers. I revived the group, even though we were not recording. But now this year I said, God, in this season, I'm going to invest in myself, my group, my label. I revived everything. And we brought in Mitch Matlock because she's always done background for me. She's also a minister in her church. Dawn Tolman, you know, she's an evangelist of song. I call her an evangelist of song. Amen. And we came together. I wanted a group that wasn't looking for how much money we getting paid or this. I wanted a group who we can get together and sing the empowerment and inspirations to God's people all over the world. And that's how we come together. We are our manager of the group is James Germany of atworkentertainment@gmail.com. Case anyone wants to book us. I love working with this group. We recorded 5 songs right now. We recorded songs with Maurice Joshua, Grammy Award winner, Maurice Joshua. Look at us. Maurice Joshua, Neil Pierce from the UK, because we go all over with producers, definitely with Jose Burgess and remixers, Kyle Small, who did the song Follow Me. He was the producer of that. So we have some awesome songs, and I'm getting some good reports about the feeling for this, you know, just being able to chill with it, to dance to some of the songs. And we did a remake of Going the Beyond. We did our feeling on it, and we take it to a dance thing. Because we're house artists, right?
Absolutely. Would you mind if I played a little bit of it?
You have it going up handle?
I have a piece of it.
How did you get it? I gave you a piece?
No, you didn't give me a piece.
You How'd didn't, you get it?
James.
We can't tell you everything.
We can't tell you everything.
Yeah,
you know,
we got, in the chat.
We got our behind the scenes way of doing what we got to do. So you and you know we love him. We always gonna look out, Miss Tucker. You
yeah,
know.
Shout out to James.
But
we're
just gonna give a little teaser of it because of where it is within its production. So y'all could try to have this.
We going.
You know, look.
Hey.
What? We got people saying it's a hit. They ain't heard but a snip.
Wow.
Okay. I'm going to tell you. You know, I already talked to Mr. Germany and told him as soon as they get the papers right, you know, send it because we also, I don't know if you're aware, we have a 24-hour radio station that's fully licensed with ASCAP, BMI, So
awesome.
Can, you know,
awesome.
Through the USA, Canada, and the UK. So, you know, we trying to step it up a little bit so that we can, you know, support so that for every play you get paid. You know, that's where we going with that. So I'm so excited about that song, though.
Yes. That's, we're going to remake something. We can get something out there. And what happens when you remix? As we know, a lot of times R&B artists do that. That also is to get the attention for new music. So once they hear that, I'm familiar with that. Oh, who is this group?
Mm-hmm.
You know. So, and we love and Barbara loves favorite gospel artist is Tremaine Hawkins.
Oh yes.
Wait a minute now.
Let's find out.
Oh my.
Tremaine Hawkins, Javon, you know, I got to go through my Tremaine thing when
on my album that I'm working on, I did Be Grateful, produced by Marley Marr.
What? What?
From you are working with LL Cool J to doing a gospel. Work.
So is this
first of all, he's an amazing producer.
Yeah, is this all going to be on one album?
No, The Crew is that EP, and then Barbara Tucker will do her thing. Yeah.
So when is the Barbara Tucker coming out, and when is the B Crew?
No, let's hope this year we can finish it because I get so engulfed in helping other people singing for this one because I'm not pressed, so to say, but I'm like, God, you know what we say about tomorrow, so I need to get on this so that my legacy, building up a work, spiritual works through song, is in this earth.
Mm-hmm. You guys are on your way to London, no?
Yes, actually, we are going to London to do working with an event that's called Space. I've worked with them before. Yes, our schedule is really kind of tight. Thank God. I said, James, I'm not trying to be funny. I told him, but I said, I noticed one thing that when you retire from your job, God, is like the gigs are opening up because I couldn't do this all myself. Even though I have the vision, I have the know-how because I have the know-how, but that's a lot to try to manage yourself, to write for yourself, to do all of this. But God will put the right people in place. And one thing about James, no, James is not the artist, but James is the, he's the resourcefulness one. He's the one who's going to pull it together. He's the one who's going to keep everything in accurate accounting and stuff. So I said, thank you, God. And I always let him know, I appreciate you.
Thank you for that. You know, and everything happens in God's order,
in
God's time, you know, at the right time. Like you said, when he, once he retired and was ready to fully commit, you know, like had the time and, you know, to do all of it, then everything, yeah, everything comes when it's supposed to come. That's why I'm not fretting. I am not worried about a darn thing. Like, come when it comes. I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing. And, you know, somebody said to me. Somebody said. I'm thinking about retirement myself. But somebody said to me, don't worry about that. You'll know when it's the right time.
Well, you know what? You can choose that right time, too. And I'm not really telling nobody to leave their job. But God gave us all creativity that we're not supposed to be under somebody. This, what can I go? Oh, the time I got to get my check, my 401k or whatever. Is that really?
Yeah, I got some more things to do there, though. You know what I'm saying? I do good work. So
I think I'm generally
of
things, and I'm reminded my bishop. It's so funny because he's like had a child coming. He was working for the postal office. I think this could have been he was 20 or 21 years old, something like that.
Wow.
And then they switched his schedule and said, oh, so now you have to come in on Sundays. He said, oh, no, could you change my date because I have to be at church on Sunday. And he said that the supervisor said, well, I guess you're going to have to make a decision, right? He said he didn't even think about, you know, because his wife was having a baby and all this. He said, you know what, God, you're going to supply all my needs. So sometimes it could be tough. Again, getting back to faith, it could be tough of you saying, no, but the government's giving me this, and he's the one who gave me this $1,200 check, and I have to do what the government says, and there's going to be a time that you're going to have to be as your ancestors, and they all had jobs because they were all their own bosses creating, and that's why I support.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know if she had a 9-to-5. I don't think so, but I know she had a whole lot of jewelry. And no, it wasn't $5, and I'm sure it could have been $40. And I had two, of course. I gave one to my cousin for love. I don't even think she wears stuff like this, but I gave it to her anyway. But there's going to be a time that you are going to depend on God. If you gave it to me, you can work through it. You will bring the right network, God. There's places and situations you will position me, hallelujah, amen, for my increase.
Amen.
Because guess what? Those jobs, there's going to be a time. Y'all know it. I don't know how much you go to church, but I know you all heard this. There's going to be a time that mark of that beast is going to come, and you won't be able to do jack unless you get that mark.
Yeah.
That's why I stay on my knees. I stay doing what I have to be as a vessel. If I have to supply, bring my tithe to make sure that house of God is taken care of, if I have to bring my teruma, which is the gifting offering, a 2.5% of increase to the priest that God said that we're to bring it to make sure he's covered so that he can then command the blessing to rest on my house, then I will do it because I've never seen the righteous forsaken. I haven't had 9-to-5 since, what, was I 30 or something? I'm 60 now. I don't know what to do, but trust God.
You sick?
Hey, Jesus. Because God is a keeper. And because as someone in your chat was saying about the eating, what are you eating? What's coming out of your pores? I'm not saying overnight, just stop it all, but little at a time as you can start taking things out of your diet. I love sugar. Everybody loves Twizzlers, right? You know, but what you do, you have to start fasting. Because when you fast, you're saying, God, I'm giving this up. This is my sacrifice. God, you can bring me through. And then you start finding alternative things of salt type of things. Like I found cauliflower puffs. Now, I used to love cheese puffs because I like how they melted in my mouth. But when I said, no, I can't eat this because this is fake cheese. What is this stuff? But then I found my friend, Janelle Saunders, I love her. That's my soul sister. And she brought me snacks because she eats a certain way as well. And she said, oh, I just picked these up, try it. I was addicted. I was like, wait, it's gluten-free. There's no cheese. There's no extra additives. These are cauliflower puffs. How did they make this? So that's my still feeling. So if you want to live right with your body, you can. You just turn it around. And you start hanging out in that community. Hanging out in the community because that's your support system, whether it be your church family, whether it be your music family, what's that? Oh, there's a gig, there's a such and such, or whether it's the community that doesn't eat a certain way, a community that says, I'm going to stand for God and the God within me, and I'm not going to be subject to what this system is saying, who never liked my people anyway.
Mm, how about that?
Hey, and every time you turn around, they want you to take some shots, some booster, some pill. Really?
You think it's ironic that that some say, some say that the same people that put it out there are now trying to offer you the cure.
Of course.
And it's,
hey,
you know,
let's go deeper than that. Those are the ancestors of those ones brought from Germany with all their tricks and scams to now put on us people. How's that?
Mm.
This is all about marketing and wealth and power for these people, you know.
I have to say that you have to pay attention sometimes because when people make money, they're
God.
When they're talking about money all the
That's
time,
true.
The money they got, they generally are people that don't have ideas. Mm-hmm. They generally are people that don't, that cannot inspire others, you know.
Mm-hmm. They're not thinking
because,
about
that. Because everything is about money.
Money
and usually
the elite, so they could be up here.
Well, I don't associate money with the elite necessarily.
I get what you're saying, but that's what they're after.
Well, that's unattainable, you know, quite frankly, because there's something about making.
I know. Who's going to tell them? So we have a game that we play.
Oh, yeah.
Because I know your time is short with us. We have only like another 15 minutes.
Yes.
So, Therese, tell her a little bit about the game.
Yes, and I'm super excited about it. We have a game that we like to play, Barbara. It's called Rapid Fire. It's a word association game. So how it works is Javon and I will take turns. I'll say a word, and you say what immediately comes to mind. So it's
okay.
Like rapid fire. It's one word or maybe a couple of words, but what immediately hits your spirit, and it's giving people a peek behind the veil. So there's obviously nothing rehearsed about it. It's just, I say a word, you say what immediately comes to mind. I'll go first, and then Javon will go after.
Okay.
Let me know when you're ready.
Oh, I'm ready.
Yeah. First word, gift.
God. Sound.
Womanhood.
The I am. Oh, one word. God.
It could be a few if it fits, you know.
Okay.
Black people.
Hey, Jesus, chosen. Sorry.
No, you're fine. You're fine. Black culture.
Powerful, beautiful.
1970.
My favorite. Favorite.
Analog or digital?
Digital.
Love.
Jesus, Yeshua.
And my last word is Barbara Tucker.
Spirit.
Thank you. Yvonne, you're up next.
Okay. Disco.
Hey, party.
Peace.
Calmness.
Choreography.
Debbie Allen.
Persuasions.
Dad, where are you?
Happiness.
Love.
Joy. House music.
A spiritual thing.
Diva.
God's anointed.
God.
Omnipotent.
Blessing.
Commandments by God.
And you are a blessing as well. Thank you so very much.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you, thank you. Can I just say, we'd be remiss if we did not mention your roots, you know?
Absolutely.
Because it came up in the rapid fire, and of course we have to, because it's important that we honor our roots.
Yes.
And the persuasions.
Yes.
Yes. So Ms. Tucker's father is a singer from the legendary group, The Persuasions, which it was so ironic when I found out, because my mom, who's listening to the show right now.
Hi, Mom.
She used to play this one album over and over and over again until I learned every song on that album.
Wow.
I knew that album as a kid, you know, and would sing it all the time. And then grew up a little bit and heard your music and played that all the time and never made the connection. Could you talk to us briefly about, and remember, I had your father on the podcast once before.
Yeah. Well, you know, first of all, my father is now the sole surviving member of the Persuasion.
Wow.
And God is a keeper. I speak to him often, make sure he's okay, taking his vitamins and doing his regimen, because we must take care of our ancestors, our fathers, grandmothers, grandmothers, even aunts. We have a period take care, like right here, my aunt lives with me. I said, I'm going to Atlanta. Do you want to come with me or you want to go with your daughter? She said, I'm coming with you. So I'm the mother now. And she's 80 years old, working out with me and Obadiah. And we, you're not going to eat that no more, because I didn't sign up to be pushing you in a wheelchair. And then I, you know, so I said, so I have to make sure you're on point with your health as well. But my father is the sole surviving member of the Persuasion, which is the known a cappella group of New York, or now of really the world. They have acclamations from our now mayor, who was a congressman before. They have worked with Paul Simon, with Grateful Dead. They've worked with, so what do you call it? There's a whole new, the Bare Naked Ladies on their last album. It was the Bare Naked Ladies and the Persuasion. So I'm really proud of him. I love him. I wasn't raised with him. That didn't stop me from loving him, because I don't have those type of hang-ups. You wasn't there. No, I was good. God still had me covered. Had a stepfather, had a good mother, had grandmother, grandfather. So all, I thank God for how he made me, because I'm not the type of person, I'm going to be such and such years old and holding grudges. My father or my mother wasn't there. I don't know what they went through, why they had to not be there. That doesn't mean they didn't love me. Some people say they love you and they're still molesting you.
Mm-hmm. And they're there.
Still, and they're there.
Still molesting you.
Okay. Oh, Jesus. That's why I'm a part of the Midnight Prayer with Zoe Ministries, calling out these type of situations. Where's your prayer life? Where's your, can God find your service in this earth? So that's, as I get older, I'm being chiseled. I have been, granted, I'm not who I was when I was 20, 25, when I sang Beautiful People. Mm. Now I can sing it with a different feeling and as a ministry. I can sing these songs as a ministry. And not just, and deep down inside, oh, baby, I don't have to do that. Because I'm saying, if you just go within yourself, you're going to find that love. It's where deep inside, it's where deep down. And that's the message of that. We have a lot of songs, a lot of things that we've done. I've worked with, I'm writing my book. It's called Barbara Tucker, Queen of house music, How Did I Get Here? Question mark. This is going to be a really good book, not focusing on, I never wanted to be a singer. That's what it's about. But when God chooses you for something, these type of situations kept opening up. I already had the DNA of my father and my mother because they both sung within me. I loved dancing, but I didn't have extensive dancing, but yet I could see choreography and movement and had some small training with after-school programs that choreographers were dancing and showing the movement, but I kept getting the movement. And next thing I know, in theater. No, I didn't study Shakespeare or anything, but I had something in me creatively that I can be an old woman or I can be a young girl or something, and I was getting awards and things. So you have to watch your children and their giftings, and don't say, oh, that's it. He's just always doodling. Oh, that's him. He's just always taking apart electronic things and putting it back together. That's a part of their gifting, and it's your responsibility to help mold that. But with my family, because there are, again, a lot of ministers, my grandmother, great-grandmother, grandfather, in my Bajan side of the family in Barbados, a lot of ministers, and so you don't know this as a child, but the word is all, the seed has been planted. So these two things coming together to help formulate your purpose here of how you're drawing people to the kingdom, and that was through the art. Now, not only that book, but I'm a part of a book that Mackenzie, her name is Layla Mackenzie of the UK. She did this book. I don't know if you could see it. It's called Lady of the House.
Wow. Well, that's an amazing, amazing picture.
This has all kind of women in music, not just singers, not just dancers, but they could be late. They can own a label. You might want to screenshot them. Can you screenshot that?
Awesome.
So what it is women who are label owners, who are engineers, who are radio personalities, you too. All over the world, their story, their challenges, and what they had to go through. And this is dedicated to Lolita Holloway, but this is only the first. It just came out a couple of months ago, and this is only the first of many that are coming. So, and she's so open. So I'd like to even after this or during this week, give me your information, your bio, so I can send it to her, amen, as two women who support the community of music, who never give up, no matter if John's not here or 20,000 are not here, they're still here, not giving up, because somebody's going to have an ear to hear what the message is that you're bringing through through this platform. So I'm happy to be a part of that, to be a part of this industry now, 37 years and going, that God has me. I can't say I stopped. I can't say I broke up with the industry, with the music, because I know what those other people are doing, selling them their souls out, doing rituals on TV at award shows and things like this, because these people sell out and they have to do what they got to do. But because I know where my gifting comes from, I don't need to chase millions. Hey, I don't need to chase that, because God has food on my table, a place to eat. In the pandemic, he kept me. Did I work in the pandemic? No, but guess what? I was wealthy. I was fed. I am here. I serve. When you're, as artists, when you feel that you're at a drought, and our people have been at droughts and famine, then you find someplace you can serve. Stop looking for, oh, where's my mother? No, I'm healthy. Can I go serve and help seniors? Can I go feed somebody? Can I be at, okay, the church is here. What can I do? Can I be in a phone call ministering to people, helping people? God has got to find your service.
Amen. Amen.
Whatever you do, because you will give you life.
Wow. There's one last thing we're going to ask you for, Ms. Tucker. We're going to ask you for drops for our show, for this show, and one for our radio station.
Okay. Is it the drop now, or is it for me to call in? So it's
no, a drop now, and I'll just take care of it.
Okay.
So the first drop for the show is, hi, this is Barbara Tucker, and you're watching, Hi, this is Barbara Tucker, and you're in the basement with Javon and Therese.
Hi, you're Barbara Tucker. Oh, you're Barbara. Hi, this is Barbara Tucker, and you're in the basement with Jovan and Therese. So what you got to say? Have that ear.
Nice.
Perfect, perfect. And the second one is for a radio station. They won't see it. They'll only hear your voice. Hi, this is Barbara Tucker, and you're listening to WJBR Internet Radio.
Let me see. Hi, you're Barbara Tucker. Oh, I keep saying that. Why do I keep saying that? Be me.
Because you and I are one. There you go.
Did you say, oh, word. WBJ Radio?
WJBR.
WJBR.
Internet Radio.
Oh, see. You're
I love those oohs.
WJBR Internet Radio.
Yes. We grow across several countries.
Oh, that's awesome. See? Stay there. Somebody's listening.
Amen.
Okay. Hi, everybody. This is your girl, Barbara Tucker, and you are listening to WJBR Internet Radio. Doesn't it sound good?
Thank you so very much. And as always, you know what? You are one of my very favorite people, human beings, not just singers, but just human beings. You are so generous. You are so anointed that it just shines through, and we appreciate you.
Most of all, you're so necessary, and yes, thank you for your presence.
As you all, thank you for the platform allowing me. Love you, ladies. Love everyone. Amen.
Amen.
All we can do is love.
You know, that's right.
Yes.
Have a great one, everybody. Enjoy the rest of your weekend, and please stay safe and blessed.
He's party people.
Hi, everybody. You're in the basement with Jovan and Melba Moore.
Basement, no longer alone with my homegirl Therese on the microphone. Music politics are just chatting it up. Brunch in the basement, see that's what's up. You never know who might run through. Legendary artists or someone brand new. You miss a lot when you miss one day. At least that's what I heard somebody say. But it doesn't really matter what whoever says. It's always a good show with Jovan and Therese. Brunch in the basement with Jovan and Therese. Yeah. Come on, everybody's a friend in my head. I already know everybody. One day I'll tell you about me and Shaka Khan, but, you know.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. But she doesn't know anything about it. But anyway. No, she doesn't. She wasn't even there, actually. But anyway.
All our office, though, Jay.
I want to smell really, you know, nice.
Oh, God.
Okie dokie, babe, whatever you say.
With time, so.
And we thank you for that.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, thank you. This part, that little piece, I'm just going to keep and play it all the time for myself. But no, I'm just teasing.